Live from the College Football Hall of Fame here in Atlanta, Georgia, it is the Rob Brown Show live at SEC Media Days, presented by our friends at Ingles. Love the savings. Fantastic, fantastic sponsor, and we are glad to have them with us here on the show and here at SEC Media Days. Taking you all the way through Thursday, the final day of SEC Media Days. We will be live today, tomorrow, and Thursday. And looking forward to hearing whatever we're going to be hearing over the next few days. The interesting conversation that broke out yesterday was from Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference. We have talked a little bit about some of the things that he said yesterday at the commissioner's round table to open up SEC Media Days. I will start with this. The big thing that got discussed yesterday was the expansion of the college football playoff. Now, there were some other things that caught people's attention. One of those things was that Greg Sankey repeatedly referred to the Southeastern Conference as, and I am directly quoting here, great one, a super conference. He himself used the term super conference yesterday and did so a number of times, which, yeah. So the interesting aspect about that is that the term super conference has, to me anyway, has almost kind of picked up a secondary meaning. Super conference in terms of size, sure, it's got 16 teams in it. It's a big-ass conference. We all know that. But the term super conference has been, I think, majoritively used by people discussing the future of college football and the belief in the future of college football being the SEC and the Big Ten playing on one level and then everybody else playing on a different level. Now, whether that level is alongside the Big Ten and the SEC and they pick up whatever table scraps those two conferences leave behind for everybody else, whatever is left of the ACC, whatever is left of the Big 12, whatever is left of everybody else. Or there is the more extreme discussion, which is we end up inevitably with two levels of college football. We end up with a major college football that is the Big 10 and the SEC and the remaining teams out there, Florida State, Clemson, et cetera, Notre Dame, those schools are not going to be left out in the cold. There's obviously way too much money wrapped up in those schools to not have them be a part of, if it does become two separate levels, the highest level of college football. It will be everybody else, the San Diego States, the Boise States of the world, that get left behind in the second level. But the fact that Greg Sankey utilized the term super conference yesterday got a lot of people talking. The fact that we had the term super conference used by a super conference commissioner has a lot of people asking, are Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti, the two commissioners of the SEC and the Big Ten, are they starting to get the vibe or maybe acknowledge publicly that they really do hold the future of college football in whatever shape and form it is ultimately going to take long term, they actually hold that power and the fate of college football in their hands. And we'll come back to that discussion here in a few minutes, because I do think there's a lot of hypotheticals in that discussion. I do think that there are a lot of unknowns in that discussion. I think there are a lot of variables in those discussions and a lot of things that we just may not even be able to hypotheticalize until those discussions start to come to fruition. Now, I am sure that Tony Petitti and Greg Sankey and Rich Clark and Charlie Baker and the big name authority figures in college football, I'm sure they all have a better idea of the long-term direction that we are heading in right now. And that is why little things like Greg Sankey using the term super conference do catch people's attention, right? It's like any time that you hear a high-level politician speak or a CEO of a Fortune 500 company speak, any time that they use terminology that is outside of the fan-level discussion of that thing or the investor-level discussion of that thing, any time that they use terminology that is not in the common vernacular of whatever the thing is that we are talking about, it grabs people's attention. It catches people's attention because you start to wonder, what are the discussions going on behind the scenes? Now, I'm going to segue that into what ended up being one of the more attention-grabbing statements of Greg Sankey yesterday. Greg Sankey yesterday during the Conference Commissioners Roundtable early in the day here at SEC Media Days, Greg Sankey in his keynote address said something to the tune of, the Big Ten and the Southeastern Conference are not on the same page in regards to college football playoff expansion. Now, I think we kind of knew that already, right? Like, we kind of knew that already. We kind of knew already that the SEC coaches during the SEC spring meetings a few weeks ago down in Destin, Florida, said that they are leaning towards the preference of a 5 plus 11 model. The five highest ranked conference champions, then joined by the next 11 highest ranked teams as determined by the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. The Big Ten has not joined the Southeastern Conference in that stance. The Big Ten prefers the model that was initially brought forward. That initial model is the 4-4-2-2-1-1-2 model. And that is the four automatic qualifiers to the Big Ten, four automatic qualifiers to the Southeastern Conference, two automatic qualifiers to the Atlantic Coast Conference, two automatic qualifiers to the Big 12, one automatic qualifier for the Group of Five, and then some at-large bids to round out the 16 when we expand. That in and of itself is not new. We know that the SEC, at least the coaches, and Greg Sankey is saying that the conference, because of that, prefers the 5 plus 11. We knew that the Big Ten, who we have not really heard any coaches speak out on this issue yet, the Big Ten prefers the more automatic qualifiers for conferences model. Nothing new. Nothing's changed. We know that. What is new, and what did cause a bit of a ruckus yesterday, was when Greg Sankey said that because of the fact that these two conferences are in different places, because of the fact that these two conferences are not aligned on this issue, there is now the thought that it may actually push conference expansion off the table for now. Keep in mind, the College Football Committee has to approve expansion around December 1st. I believe, if I recall correctly, December 1st is the last day for expansion to be approved for next season. And so the thought is that we were moving towards that vote and that it to some degree almost felt like it was an inevitability when it was all said and done. It felt like it was more of a mandate that was going to happen. Greg Sankey said yesterday, may not. It may not. If the two conferences, which, as we have said, what is the golden rule? You, young lads and lasses out there, have been taught your entire childhood that the golden rule is treat others as you wish to be treated. And that is a good rule for life. Let cynical Uncle Rob roll it back for just a minute. That is a good rule for life. You should follow the golden rule. You should treat others the way that you wish to be treated. That is a wonderful philosophy under which to live your life. However, it is not the golden rule. The golden rule is very simple. My old man taught me this when I was just a ute, because my old man wanted to see the world for what it is and what we can make it, not the ideal sunshine, butterflies, and rainbows version of it. The real golden rule is, he who has the gold makes the rules. Now, I could go off on a deep philosophical rant about where we are in America, but I won't do that. I'll stick it to college football here for just a minute for the betterment of Lonzo's mental health and well-being. In college football, we know who has the gold. There are three entities which have the gold. Entity number one is the Southeastern Conference. Entity number two is the Big Ten Conference. And entity number three are their television partners, ESPN and Fox Sports. Greg Sankey saying yesterday that the possibility of college football playoffs not expanding next year if the Big Ten and Southeastern Conference cannot get on the same page, I'm going to say respectfully to the commish, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I would like for it to be true. Not because I'm anti-expansion. I'm not. In fact, quite the opposite. I'm pro-expansion. I think 16 teams is the right number. A lot of people think that's too many teams. I think it's the right number. I think having 16 allows you to ensure that, number one, every team that is a legitimate national championship team is for sure in. Now, I'm not saying that there is, was, or ever will be a year where we genuinely feel like there are a dozen college football teams, any of which could win the national championship. What I will say is that wild card teams win the Super Bowl every now and then. Wild card teams win the World Series every now and then. And while those are professional sports and it is played at a different level,
technically, Ohio State was a wild card team last year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, granted, you weren't ranked number 11 at the end of the year, but technically speaking, you are correct. So the point here for me is I would rather have too many teams and a couple of teams that make the mix and we all go, yeah, that's not a national championship contender. Then have years like we did back in the BCS days where we don't have enough teams and we feel like there's a lot of teams on the outside looking in. A team like a, I don't know, Florida State from 2023 that win the Atlantic Coast Conference, go 13-0, win the conference championship game, and then get left out because there weren't spots. Would they have won the national championship realistically? Probably not. Even I'm willing to acknowledge that, even though I absolutely think they should have been in over Alabama that year. I also have subscribed. Somebody hand me the tin foil. I need to make a cap. That the reason Florida State was left out of the playoffs was not because Jordan Travis's legs snapped like a pretzel. The reason that Florida State missed the playoffs was because had Florida State gone to the playoffs, there would have been no SEC team in there. And the powers that be couldn't have that. So they made sure they got their spot. Am I mad at them for it? No, I understand. At the end of the day, I have accepted, as I encourage the rest of you to do, that college football is every bit the business the National Football League is. It is driven by the dollar bills, y'all, and not a damn thing else. That is why I do not believe Greg Sankey. When Greg Sankey says that we may not expand next year because the two conferences that hold the gold and therefore make the rules can't get on the same page, I don't believe him. And the reason I don't believe him is whether he and Petitti want it or not, the biggest player in all of this is without a doubt the television networks. They have the gold, they make the rules, and if you were to say, we can give you four more teams, and by giving you four more teams, give you additional games in the opening round, additional games in the college football playoffs as a whole, those TV networks are not going to say no to that. In fact, quite the opposite. They are going to push for it to happen. They are going to push for that expansion to happen. And if they are going to push for that expansion to happen, even Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti can't say no to that. So the only question at this point is going to be, when is that vote? Is it December 1st because we have negotiations on negotiations on negotiations? Or is it earlier than that because ESPN and Fox and CW and all these other television networks that are involved make the call to the commissions and they go, hey, we don't particularly know or particularly care why you guys can't get on the same page. But get on the same page. Get it together. When I was growing up, I have a little brother. He is 3 years younger than I. And when we were cheering back in the day, if the little brother and I got into a fight because he was hogging the Nintendo or I took the last of the Chips Ahoy or whatever, if we got into a fight and we were incapable of coming to a solution to said conflict ourselves, do you know what Mama Brown used to do? Mama Brown would grab us both by the scruff of the neck, metaphorically speaking. She was a gentle and caring woman. And she would walk us down the hallway, and she would put us into the boring room. Dad's office, their bedroom, whatever. She would put us in the boring room where there was nothing to do and nothing to distract us, and she would close the door, and she said, you may come out when you are friends again. You may come out when you were on the same page. You may come out when you have reached a compromise or a solution to the problem that you are having. And we would have to sit in there for 5 minutes or 5 hours or the whole day figuring out what we were going to do to both be happy. The networks are going to do that to the Big Ten and the SEC. They're going to say, we don't care if you go 5 plus 11, if you go 4-4-2-2-1-1-1. We don't care what system you decide that you're going to go with. We don't care what the format is. We don't care about any of it. We want our four more teams. We want our two more games. We want our expanded playoffs. We want our extra week of playoff football. We want it. And you are all going to sit in the boring room together, and you're going to talk and negotiate until you come to a compromise. And then you're going to, because you two conferences have the power to tell everybody else what they're going to do. You two conferences are going to sit, compromise, find out what's best for both of you. Then you're going to come out of the room. You're going to tell everybody else what it is, and we're going to do that, and we're going to get our football, and you're going to get your lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of money for doing so. I know Greg Sankey caught a bunch of attention yesterday for saying that we might not expand next year because of this. I am telling you, they absolutely are. There's not a doubt in my mind because there's too much money not to. Now, which of those formats is best for the SEC? Which of those formats is best for the Big Ten? Which is best for everybody else? Greg McElroy had some comments I heard him talk about yesterday, and I want to address them next. Rob Lonzo and you live from the College Football Hall of Fame. It's SEC Media Days presented by Ingles here on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate live from the College Football Hall of Fame here in Atlanta, Georgia for day number 2 of 4 at SEC Media Days. Kevin text the show, or excuse me, joined us on the live stream. And you can too, facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, The Fan Upstate on Twitter, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, or The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch. We are live all 4 hours, and now that we got the bugs worked out, we're going to be live today, tomorrow, and on Thursday for the final day of SEC Media Days. And I'll give you another little secret. Coming up after the show, probably around 11:30 or noon. Actually, I'm going to say closer to noon. So right around noon, I'm going to go live again. And I'm going to go live from my phone, and I'm going to take you guys on a tour of the College Football Hall of Fame here in Atlanta. Now, I will tell you that it is closed off to the public for these 4 days for SEC Media Days. So a lot of the exhibits are, the interactive ones are not on and working, which is just too bad for me and my quads because I'm not going to get to do the vertical jump, the 40-yard dash, etc. But I will still be able to take you around, show you some of the stuff. I was sending Zoe pictures yesterday on the other side. They have one of Ohio State's tuba player outfits along with the tuba that has dotted the I at Ohio Stadium before. They have an entire exhibit dedicated just to the cheerleaders of college football. It's beyond impressive. The only thing I'm genuinely upset about this experience is the fact that while it's awesome, that I get to come see all the exhibits, is closed to the public, and none of the stuff is actually running. They have on the other side of me, though, and I was really looking forward to this until I found out that it's not up and running. They have a mock-up of the College Game Day desk, and you can sit behind the desk, and you push a button, and it puts you in a College Game Day broadcast. So you sit behind this desk, and it gives you a script to set up a segment, and then it runs a little thing, and you actually host College Game Day for a segment, and then it emails you the file of you hosting Game Day. I was going to go full Pat McAfee turn to 11 on that thing, but I walked over there yesterday, and they don't have it turned on. And it disappointed me more than anything else.
I was going to ask you which seat you would be sitting in if you're cosplaying one of the guys on College Game Day.
I think I'm off center right. I don't want to sit in the middle, right? Like that's Fowler's seat. I don't want to sit in the middle. I think I'm off center right because you go Chris in the middle, then you go Pat, then you go Nick to the right.
It's not Fowler, it's Reese Davis.
I mean Reese Davis. They're
basically
Fowler.
The same guy. So yeah. I mean, you know.
I think I would sit. I think I said, looking at the stage, I think I'd sit off center right would be the play, and just absolutely open up the throttle full. We'll see. I very much considered.
So you'd be sitting where Saban sits.
Yeah, I'd probably sit in that chair. I very much considered paying my own way to stay one more night here in Atlanta and just come here on Friday, like when it's back open to the public, just to experience it as a. You know, as a college football fan and not a dude who works in the industry, but, you know, alas, duty calls. We'll see. All right. Kevin said, nothing as exciting as Media Days. When can we look forward to the Southern Conference Media Days? That's a crowd pleaser faux show. And the answer is, Kevin, as soon as I get the dates, because that, I believe, is being hosted in Greenville again this year. We will, as we have covered the Southern Conference Media Days the last couple of years, do the same again this year. I look forward to that. So, I want to finish up the conversation we were having in the last segment of the show. Greg Sankey made some waves yesterday here at SEC Media Days when he said that college football's playoffs may not expand as anticipated in 2026 because he and Tony Petitti, the two conferences that have all the gold and therefore make all the rules, the Big Ten and the SEC, aren't and can't get on the same page in regards to the format. The SEC, we told you back during spring meetings, the coaches were very open about wanting the 5+11 model, whereas the Big Ten has been very open about wanting the model that gives more automatic qualifiers. So yesterday afternoon, I was sitting here doing some afternoon work, waiting for the afternoon session with Lane Kiffin and the Ole Miss Rebels and Clark Lee and the Vanderbilt Commodores. And there's a couple of gentlemen sitting over here from Mississippi. They were having an interview with Greg McElroy, and they asked him about his preference. And McElroy had a couple of arguments why he believes the opposite of the SEC coaches. He said he believes the correct model for college football playoff expansion would not be the multi-AQ for the big conferences model. He actually said, the 5+11 model as suggested by the SEC coaches. He actually said the correct model, in his opinion, would be the 4-4-2-2 model. And when asked why he believed that, he gave a couple of reasons. The first reason that he gave that he believes the 4-4-2-2 plus model, the first reason that he gave is he just said there is clearly more talent concentrated in those conferences. Those two conferences cannibalize each other, and therefore they should be rewarded for producing more talent across more teams. They should be rewarded by having more automatic spots in the playoff. The second reason that Greg McElroy said that he believes that the more AQs for the power conferences model is the correct model, is he said he thinks it's easier for the fans to understand. Now, I, respectfully to Greg McElroy, who I did talk to for 4 or 5 minutes yesterday, super nice guy, all the respect in the world. I like Greg McElroy a lot. I think Greg McElroy does a great job. I felt a little bit disrespected by that take. And I heard him, and again, he was in an interview, so I couldn't address it if I get the chance to speak to him today, because there is still the outside chance. Right now we have confirmed over the next 2 days Peter Burns from the SEC Network, Benjamin Watson from the SEC Network, and we are working on one more name, hopefully Get Laura Rutledge in here on Thursday. I'll let you know that one's kind of in flux right now. But if I get the chance to talk to Greg, there is a chance he might show up. I really do want to ask him about that because the first argument he said, I get it. I understand it. And for somebody who works for the SEC network, that makes perfect sense. If I was the – this is why when the 5 plus 11 conversation came up, a couple of weeks ago at the SEC spring meetings. And it was announced that the SEC coaches liked 5 plus 11. I was genuinely shocked by that. If you were listening to the show that day, you may remember. I was genuinely shocked by that because I said, I cannot imagine a world in which SEC coaches would say, we want to risk being team number 13 at 10-2 and not getting in. When being 10-2 in the top four in the SEC, and you're only competing to be one of the top four SEC teams, would buy you a spot. I was genuinely a little bit taken aback by that. I was not shocked that the Big Ten wants the 4-4-plus model. That makes more sense for that conference. And so therefore, and I say this respectfully, somebody like Greg McElroy, who works for the SEC, or the SEC network in this case, somebody like Greg McElroy, who his well-being is determined by the success and the failure of the Southeastern Conference, it makes sense to me that he would want a model that guarantees the SEC would get four teams and not a model that doesn't guarantee anything, not a model that guarantees you get one, and there could be, there never will be, let's be real clear about this, but that guarantees you would get four instead of a format that guarantees you get one and nothing more than that. I didn't understand the take of, well, that'll be easier for the fans to understand. How is it hard to understand five conference champs and the next 11 ranked teams? The only thing I can say is I guess Greg is making the argument that we would be having, and I think this is true, we would shift the fights we used to have about who's number two and three and deserves to go, who's number four and five and deserves to go and deserves to get left out too, who's number 16 and 17 that deserves to get left out, but I'd rather fight that. And as Shane just asked the question, in the 4-4-2-2 model, are those bigger conferences still eligible for at-large teams outside their AQ? Yes. Yes, they are. If we went 4-4-2-2-2 and those two at-larges, if one of those was an SEC team and a Big Ten team, they would both get five teams in. But that's why I expect somebody from the SEC to say they like that model or somebody from the Big Ten to say they like the model. That's why I was shocked. The SEC coaches said 5 plus 11, which is the plan I prefer personally. Where do you land on this? 844-326-3663. We will hear some sound from Lenoris Sellers when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. We are live at SEC Media Days here in Atlanta, Georgia, the College Football Hall of Fame, our gracious host this beautiful day. I will let you know that we have got some sound coming up from yesterday. We have got some sound coming up from today. We will be sitting down with Peter Burns of the SEC Network later on today. We will be sitting down with David Nuno from Aggies Live, the rival site of the Texas A&M Aggies. He's been covering SEC football for longer than I have been in radio as a whole. One of my favorite people to talk to. We'll get David Nuno in here later on, and I will be hustling down some other interviews over the course of the day. Now, yesterday, I did not get, unfortunately, the opportunity to sit down with Lenora Sellers and Shane Beamer. And a big part of the reason for that was these two dudes were absolute rock stars in this building yesterday. When I tell you that the expectations for the South Carolina Gamecocks are elevated this year, I do not mean just for South Carolina fans. I mean they are elevated in the eyes of the national media, in the eyes of broadcasters here, I think in the eyes of fans everywhere. Yesterday I started making the rounds after the show was over. And I went on, I think, three or four different shows and podcasts yesterday to talk South Carolina Gamecock football. And all of the podcasts that I went on, obviously aside from talking about Lenore Sellers extensively, all of them, when I asked them, because there's not much I love more than being interviewed on somebody's show and asking them questions instead, I asked everybody whose show I was on yesterday, what are your expectations as a Oklahoma fan, as a Texas fan, as an Aggies fan? What are your expectations for the football team I cover this year? And all of them said some form of elevated. Lenore Sellers is a big part of that reason why. We have said a couple of times already that Lenore Sellers is on the national stage. This is part of the reason that I said, I think the reason that anything less than a playoff berth, even if contextually speaking, a playoff berth is impressive, a playoff berth is a win for South Carolina, even if you don't make it in, if contextually we get to the end of the year, your team 13, you don't get in and you look and you go, yeah, that sucks, but we fully understand why. Not through any fault of our own, right? We won all the games we were supposed to win. Maybe you drop one to a Georgia and Alabama, whatever. Contextually, it matters. But I've also said a couple of times that as goes Lenoris, go the Gamecocks. And the reason that is interesting is because this feels like the year that you have your Cam Newton, you have your Tim Tebow, you have your guy, like that guy that Gamecock fans are going to talk about for years to come. Elevated the team last year in his first year as QB1, and now the expectations this year going into this year are to get back to that level. So yesterday, Lenore Sellers was doing a car wash, and I pulled some sound from some different sources. Here is one where he talks about being a leader. Here is one where he talks about elevating his chemistry with some of his young receivers and a couple of other fun bites too.
Build a chemistry with those guys, the younger guys, the receivers we had last year. Just make sure we all good, offensive line as well. Didn't have a lot of time. I think they got out there in January, so just doing it as fast as we could so we get the summer, start working out and all that. And then for your second question, I think really just taking it day by day, really, not getting caught up in it too much, but still keeping my head down and still working because I know how much work I had to put in to get there, but I could also lose it quick. So
there's Lenore Sellers talking about building chemistry with the young team. I did talk with two defensive players yesterday, DQ Smith and Nick Barrett. And when I asked those two guys about Lenore Sellers, when I asked about his leadership style, when I asked him about how he has taken over as the voice of this football team, they both said the same thing. They said, it's not about Lenore Sellers talking, although he does, and he talks well, and he's a great leader vocally. He said, it's not just about Lenore Sellers in his ability to lead vocally. It's also about his actions. They said yesterday that he was phenomenal as far as getting on the field and doing it. He's not going to go out there and ask everybody else to hustle and grind and be the best if he's not out there busting it too. He was also on the SEC Network yesterday, and they asked him about the Heisman hopes. There are discussions about him being a Heisman Trophy winner. I've already told you, I have a ticket out on two quarterbacks to both attend as a parlay and to win the Heisman individually, and these are Cade Klubnik at Clemson and Lenore Sellers at South Carolina. He was asked about that on the SEC Network yesterday.
What do you think of the nickname La Heisman that the fans have given you this year?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Just to see, like, it's always a dream come true to obviously win the Heisman. It means a lot to win the Heisman, but just to see all the nicknames is cool.
You have that first year under your belt now. What did this offseason look like as far as some of the things that you learned as a year one starter in this conference last year?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. That was the biggest thing, the biggest jump, the biggest thing I had to get used to. But then again, like, it's still football. Like, everybody's bigger, faster, and stronger, but at the end of the day, it's still football. So
you had a lot of young pieces around you last year, especially in that receiver room. How have you continued to build chemistry with those guys as well as some of your new running backs?
Yeah, just spend as much time with them as I can. Not just doing football stuff, but hanging out outside of football, just getting to know them personally on a different level, just so we can have that sense of being able to talk to each other, be comfortable, keep each other accountable. So,
mechanically, we saw you make some incredible plays with your legs last year and continue to settle in as the year went on. What are some of the things that you've worked on in adjusting with your game this season?
Anticipation, footwork, making quicker decisions, being more confident. Not second-guessing. When you second-guess, that's when you tend to make more mistakes, stuff like that. So just being more, like, comfortable, confident.
Y'all were just on the cusp of that college football playoff last year. What did that do for the culture of the program going into 2025 and continuing to work towards that goal?
It just showed us a little bit of success. We were a couple plays off. It wasn't like a big difference of being in the playoffs versus not. So just giving us confidence to know that we can do it, and it's something that we plan on doing.
So there's Lenoris Sellers talking about the Heisman hopes and the potential to win a Heisman title. And he said, I'm not shying away from it, right? She said, hey, how do you feel about the fact that Gamecock fans are introducing the Heisman into the conversation? And he said, hey, I appreciate it. It's exciting. I'm glad it's happening. I'm glad that I'm in that discussion. I'm not backing away from it. Most of what he said in that clip to me, Lonzo, was pretty standard stuff for a quarterback, a starting quarterback. Even one with the hype of Lenoris Sellers, it's still mostly stuff you're going to hear from a quarterback. It's about leading, and we want to be on the same page and holding each other accountable. I mean, if I had the cliche buzzer available, I'd have been slapping at every other answer. But what I did love about that clip was the opening, because it shows that he does have ambition, drive, goals, whatever. A lot of quarterbacks, when told, hey, your fans are starting a Heisman campaign and you're being talked about as a favorite and you're this and you're that, how do you feel about it? I think a lot of guys, if they went with the cliche answer, would say, oh, I'm not worried about personal accomplishments, personal achievements. I'm not worried about doing anything for me. I'm doing it for the team. And that would have been a fine answer. This young man said, I'm embracing it. I'm excited about it. I'd love to make that happen. And in a weird way, great one, I really do appreciate that, because I want my guy driven to accomplish great things for himself and have the team benefit from that.
Well, the majority of these guys, when they go to this, they're schooled before they show up. They go through practice sessions, things like that. Hey, don't you get goaded into this. Don't you say this thing. But in his answers, you can hear him in there. You could definitely hear him and his excitement and his confidence. And I really have enjoyed his answers, because, like I said, it's not all saying what the coach told you to say. There's a little bit in there of him, and it just makes me more hyped for the season.
I agree. And the one thing that I can say above all else, like I said, this kid was a rock star yesterday. Every time he walked around the building up here on Digital Drive, a.k.a. Radio Row, he had a gaggle of people following him. He had a big staff from South Carolina that was following him. But he had reporters and broadcasters and media members at every level, from the ESPN folks all the way down to the little local yokel stations and hosts like me. They were following this kid around just trying to get something. And to have that much pressure heaped on this guy when he has taken over as QB1, this, not taken over, he was QB1 last year, but stepping up from QB1 to guy who was expected to potentially go as high as a Heisman Trophy finalist / winner. He's working the media well. That's not even what I'm concerned about. What I will say about him working the media well is it feels genuine. It feels authentic. I sat down with, and I say this with no disrespect at all, I sat down with DQ Smith yesterday. I played you that audio earlier in the show. I'll upload it later on today when I get a few minutes. I sat down with DQ yesterday, and the first couple of answers were very team speak. I do what I like to do, which is try to get these guys kind of to speak personally, like less about, oh, I'm here as a Gamecock, and more like, I'm DQ Smith, the dude. And once I got him loosened up, he was a lot of fun. Nick Barrett never came off the media coaching, right? Like, no matter how personal I tried to be, he was like, he's business, he's business, he's business. And I respect that. I understand it. Some guys have to have that it's business and it's nothing but business and it's always business mentality to be the best. I respect the hell out of that. When Lenoris Sellers was talking yesterday, whether it was in the big Q&A, in the press conference, to the individual outlets he was interviewed by yesterday, it felt very genuine. There was not coach speak. There was not media speak. There was a lot of the QB cliches for sure, but when he got asked about the Heisman hype, when he got asked about the fans calling him La Heisman, when he got asked about being in New York, there was no cliche there. He's like, I'm excited about it. I want it to happen. I know it says I've accomplished big things, and it means I'm going to take my team with me. I appreciated hearing that. All right, coming up in the next hour of the show, we're going to do one segment away from college football. I want to talk a little bit about the MLB Home Run Derby, the All-Star Game, and the story developing in NASCAR right now. We'll knock those out. We'll get you some more sound from yesterday, including from Greg Sankey, and we'll talk a lot more college football live from the College Football Hall of Fame here for day two of four at SEC Media Days, presented by our friends at Ingles. Now presented by me, because I want to take full credit for how incredible you're going to feel in 60 seconds. It's Lonzo Sports Flash.
I give you the credit for this. Your 2025 Home Run Derby champion is Seattle's Cal the Big Dumper, Raleigh. Raleigh faced Tampa's junior Caminero in the final, hitting 18 to Caminero's 15 in the last round. Raleigh becomes just the second Mariner to win the event behind Ken Griffey Jr., who won the event twice. The New York Jets have signed wide receiver Garrett Wilson to a four-year, $130 million contract to stay with the team, including $90 million guaranteed. The contract marks the first time a wide receiver has been paid more than $31 million after just three seasons in the league. And the Philadelphia 76ers star Paul George has undergone arthroscopic knee surgery, according to sources. The surgery was in response to an injury suffered in practice and follows a season in which George played only 41 games due to a string of injuries.